Well, Yvonne is in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. Yvonne, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
What is your reaction to all of this?
Well, I mean, when I first heard it, I was surprised, but I figured it was, I thought he would jump at it, and he did right away. And so there were winners in this initial discussion about the meeting. I mean, President Trump did something that no other president has done. He positioned it in a way where he could actually meet with the leader of North Korea, a rogue state, a rogue nation, to get them to denuclearize. And then you have the president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in. He definitely is a big winner because this is something that he wanted to do from his campaign promises, bring the North and South together. And so that was his position. But also the big winner is Kim Jong-un. I said on your program before, even last year, that Kim Jong-un wants to be the one to show his legitimacy by being able to be a diplomat, to be a broker-dealer, if he could bring the North and the South together. And he started that with the Winter Games. So this is where we're at right now, so it'll be interesting.
You know, one of the things, Yvonne, that just gets me going is here is the President of the United States for the first time. There's no other president that has done it. And he says, yeah, I'll meet him. And they're going to get together. There'll be a lot of work done before that. But I think it's a very positive thing to sit down. I mean, here's somebody that he called a name to. And, of course, he's called a name to our president. But they're going to be able to sit and talk. It's going to take a while before. How long will it take, do you think, to get this whole thing together before they actually meet?
Well, President Trump said the end of May, so that was the ideal time frame. But then Sarah Huckabee Sanders pulled back a little bit, said we had to put some things in place. So the question becomes, between now and then, how will the more moderated military exercises that will take place between South Korea and the United States happen, how that'll impact the continued sanctions. And where he gets credit is that there is a maximum pressure policy that he used. He actually stepped up the pressure policy that the Obama administration did, which they didn't really do anything regarding North Korea. But in terms of what will happen, you don't know, because in this situation, we will have to see if Kim Jong-un changes his mind. Because you got to remember, the Kim family has had a history of making promises. They made promises under the Clinton administration, under the Bush 43 administration, and they've reneged on everything. And so in that regard, trust, Ronald Reagan says trust but verify. So in this regard, we have to verify every step. And so I think it needs to happen. It was a bit backward in the standpoint that usually you have your highest diplomat, which would have been Secretary Tillerson, more involved, because he was surprised. So he was trumped in that way. But there's some interim things. There needs to be a senior envoy that needs to be put in place for North Korea. We don't have an ambassador in the region. So we have some staff issues there. And so there are many things that need to come in play before the two presidents meet. And so there's a lot of critique on this. No president has just met first. Usually you lead up to. Maybe this is a different change in foreign policy. Maybe this will change thereafter if there's success behind.
You know, one of the things, Yvonne, I don't know how you feel, and I'm not putting you in a position to give an opinion, but you know, the mainstream media, they don't give Trump any credit at all. Now, wouldn't you think, on something like this, for a first, I mean, this is a gutsy thing to do, and I think it's the right thing to do. This is what we've had to do, and nobody could do it because they didn't want to. But this is what bothers me. The mainstream media does not get into it, and if they do, it's all, what are they doing, and what about this guy, and so on and so forth. And that, I think most Americans feel that we've got to do something, and this is the thing to do.
I think that, to the credit of the administration and the UN Security Council, the sanctions are working. And Nikki Haley, you know, has done an outstanding job in terms of getting those things in place. So that is under his administration. And on New Year's Day, Kim Jong-un admitted that the sanctions has had a pernicious impact on the economy. So he needs to have some breathing room. He is not having it right now, and it has impacted him greatly, and his regime and his elite that also helped influence and rule North Korea. So there is impact. For anyone to say that there isn't, I mean, you could critique the approach, how it was done, whether it was outside the White House, inside the White House. You could come to a lot of things, but we have to be careful about the way we assign even policy or things we're going to do. Secretary Mnuchin said, he said the total denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Right. So Yvonne, I'm going to ask you just to hang in a second,
okay,
because we're coming up on a traffic report
and a
quick check of sports, and then we'll get back with Yvonne Renee Davis.
Daniel?
Brad, we're back with Yvonne Renee Davis, foreign policy expert, has worked for several presidential administrations based here in Connecticut, talking about this meeting between President Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Yvonne, you had mentioned before about Secretary of State Rex Tillerson perhaps caught off guard by this, and now I'm reading where he has cut his trip to Africa short and is returning to the United States. What are we to make of all of that?
Well, he said he was sick. He probably ate some salad and got diarrhea. I mean, that's a reality. I don't know. I mean, I've been to 14 countries in Africa, so that's a possibility. But cutting his trip short probably at this point will make sense because of this monumental announcement that he was on the other. He was in Africa.
Coming back.
But I think he's running behind. He has to play catch up at this point because he has said different things as representing the president as opposed to what the president said he was going to do.
Well, I mean, he's saying he's returning for pressing matters in the USA. Might he resign because he was left out of the loop on this?
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to resign. I don't know. I mean, he's been hit in the face, to be honest, a few times already regarding this, because there still needs to be more coherency as relates to overall foreign policy. Usually your top diplomat, your Secretary of State, takes the lead on a lot of these things. Like when Bill Clinton in 1994 set Secretary Madeleine Albright to meet with the president, then Kim Jong-un's father, and North Korea ahead of him to see if that made sense. So usually there is a lead like that, or there's an envoy that goes about making these discussions. It was the Secretary of State that led the six-party talks under George W. Bush. So these
Yvonne, I heard a report that he was sick, he didn't feel well,
yeah,
and that
I
is the reason
too.
That he was coming back here.
I heard he was sick, and I heard he was sick, but I do believe that he does have to get a handle on what's happening, and he needs to play catch up. I do believe that. That's highly probable that you get sick, because I've had some issues. That's why I take Cipro before I go.
What's North Korea's goal here? Do they want to take over South Korea, or do they want to have some kind of peaceful coexistence?
Well, I would never trust the Kim family. They have never demonstrated trustworthiness. They are not giving up their nuclear toys. You remember one of the things I always said, that they've had the opportunity to still advance their weapon capabilities when it comes to the nuclear weapon. And so it's confirmed, the United States and intelligence has confirmed there's a miniaturized nuclear weapon that can be attached to a warhead. And so he seems to have suddenly more security. I don't see him repeating what Saddam Hussein did in Iraq. I don't see him repeating what Muammar Gaddafi did in Libya. I don't see him repeating what happened in Ukraine when Russia invaded Ukraine.
Is he afraid
later
that was what was going to happen if he didn't sit down and talk?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if he's afraid, but he's a rational actor. A lot of people don't understand that international relations term. It's not that he calls names and he stomps his feet and shoots off rockets. He has needs. The country is really suffering, and he needs breathing room. See, in previous past, his father and grandfather, his father in particular, said, okay, I'll make these concessions in exchange for plutonium reactor. Remember what happened there?
Right.
okay, in exchange for oil. Administrations agreed to do that.
But you know, there's so much that everybody's talking about, and this is what bothers me. Number one, okay, it's a country that has always been troubling to us. We could never talk to them. And what has got me upset is here is a president of the United States, whether you like him or not, that has the guts enough to say, I want to talk to him. And he's insulted him, and so has Kim insulted the president. But why isn't everybody for a meeting like this? It's a first, but we've got to start somewhere. And I just, all this talk is driving me crazy.
I think that there should be some changes. I do remember when President Obama was running for president, he had said that he would be open to talking to the enemies or even talking to North Korea, and he got criticized for that. And so now in this regard, because President Trump said he would talk, I think that the parameters for foreign policy may have to change. I mean, when he went and bombed Syria in April, you know, because of the chemical weapons attack. So this president is going to take a different approach. It's just the question of his staff or his top security team keeping up with him, because the White House was clearly surprised. This protocol aspect of the presidency and his leadership is a challenge. And so we have to see what takes place. But what's interesting is the conversation he and President Xi Jinping had over the weekend. President Xi Jinping said, oh, he praised the president for not having an animus tone and he'd want to go for peace. But at the same time, President Xi Jinping's meeting with President Moon Jae-in of South Korea because he's not really comfortable with what's taking place, because it looks like the United States is pulling ahead, because the president for life, as you know, Brad and Dad, that's what he's called, going to be called now. The president for life wants to be the one, the hand that rocks the cradle to rule that region. And so with this announcement, I think Kim Jong-un also smacked China in the face.
Really?
As well. Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Because you have to remember, we have to look at, in December, a delegation went from China to North Korea to meet. We don't even know the outcome of that meeting, but there was a meeting. Here's the other thing. President Kim Jong-un has never talked to or even met with Xi Jinping. So the fact that he would be meeting with the leader of the free world over any other leader is huge.
Interesting.
There's a lot of other psychological war games being played right now, and Kim Jong-un is a rational actor, and he's not stupid. So he knows at this point the only play he's got is the Trump play at this point.
How about that? Well, we'll see what unfolds. But right now, I guess they're on track to have this meeting in May.
The end of May.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have to see really what happens, because of the volatility. The president does a lot of tweeting. We don't know what could take place. We'll see in the coming days what the Security Council says in terms of. But here's the thing. We're still locked and loaded for war. We have three carrier groups still in the Korean waters, ready to go. People have to remember that. We are still ready to go for war.
And I don't think they're going anyplace, that's for sure. Hey, Yvonne, we're out of time during this segment, but as always, thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Take care.